Welcome to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Brand New. Can people really change? The truth is that transformation is actually in our DNA. We were created to grow. We were created to take on new challenges. We were made to become. The Bible has a lot to say about what it means to change, to really change forever. Join us for a new series as we learn together what it means to become brand new.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you're here on this Super Bowl Sunday. And what a day to talk a little bit about football. What you just saw, what you just heard, what you just experienced. Because we're kicking off a brand new series, and it's called Brand New, The Radical Life Jesus Offers. And we're glad that you're here. Justin Bourne, he signed that transfer letter from going from the team up north, I can't even mention its name, to the Buckeyes. And instantly he became a Buckeye. Boom, just like that. He was no longer a Wolverine. And yet, though he was a Buckeye in every way, okay, he picked up some nasty habits and some behaviors from the team up north that wasn't going to fit in, that wasn't going to suit him, that wasn't going to be to his benefit in his new team called the Buckeyes, because he had been up there for a number of years. And just being natural, he picked up some habits and maybe some attitudes and some behaviors that just would not coincide with the great Buckeyes. And so he had things that he had to unlearn. And though he was a Buckeye, he needed to learn some things and he needed to unlearn some things. And you know what? That's a little bit like life. Because he wanted to be able to be fully, truly a Buckeye. And to do that, he had to engage in some disciplines and some learning patterns to be able to really experience what it means to be a true Buckeye. You know what? The reason why I want to share that story with you is because really, it's a little bit of a story of when somebody comes to Christ. When somebody comes to Christ, what happens is we come out of darkness and we come into light, and there's habits and there's attitudes and there's behaviors and things that we have to unlearn. And there's disciplines and things that we need to get engaged with if we're going to be able to have the full experience. And just like Justin had to go through that, though the day that he signed those papers, he became fully a Buckeye, he wanted to be able to live out that experience in all of its full measure. And the day that somebody comes and they accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of their sins and the leader of their life, they're fully a child of God. But God wants you to have the full experience. And so that means that we have to unlearn some things, and we have to learn some other things, and we have to become fully engaged. And Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, and he's basically saying, you already know Christ. You're already brand new, but I want you to unlearn some things, and I want you to learn some other things. You see, Paul writes this to the church at Corinth, and I want to share this with you because I want to give you the overall picture of the book of the Philippians, because we're going to go through the book of Philippians for the next 4 weeks, okay? And I'm just going to kind of go right down verse by verse by verse by verse, and we're going to learn a whole lot, but you have to understand the background of this. And so Paul writes to the church in Corinth. He says, therefore, which was written before the letter of Philippians, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, forgiver of their sins, he is a new creature. He's no longer a Wolverine, okay? He's a Buckeye, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. That's changed. Behold, new things have come. Or we should say it like this, new things are coming. They're developing, they're growing. Because spiritual awakening brings what? New life. And so that's the background of what Paul is doing when he writes this letter to the church of Philippi called the book of Philippians. You see, Paul went to Philippi because of a vision that he had. God gave him a vision and to go to the town, the city of Philippi, and to be able to plant a church, because when he went there, there was no synagogue. There was nothing. And so as he developed this place called Philippi, a church, what happened is he ran into a businesswoman, a very, very successful businesswoman. Her name was Lydia. And he introduced her to Christ. She becomes a follower. And guess what happened? Her whole family becomes followers of Christ. And then what happened is he engaged a young girl who was demon-possessed. And she was able, you can read this, by the way, in Acts chapter 16, okay? I encourage you to read it. He engages in this girl who's demon-possessed, and he delivers her, and she is healed. But the problem is, her owner, she was a slave girl, got mad, got angry, because that was the way in which he would make money. He would offer her to people, kind of like a gypsy, and she would kind of try to tell their future, and so he would get paid. And so now his source of money had just dried up. And so he was mad, and so he went to the town leaders, okay, and said, hey, this guy named Paul is stirring up trouble. He just took away my business. And so what they did is they threw Paul and Silas in jail. And in Acts chapter 16, we find out that when they were in jail, they started singing. And God sent an earthquake, and the whole jail shook, and their chains fell off. And they were able to get up and leave. And as they were getting up to leave, they encountered the jailer. And they were concerned about him. And through that experience, the jailer, it tells us, came to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And his whole family got saved. And so now what happens is Paul has a church. He's got the businesswoman, okay? He's got the girl who was demon-possessed. And now he has the jailer and all of his family. And so he started this church. And now about 12 years later, he's writing them because he's wanting to make sure that they're growing in their faith. He wanted them to know that salvation was not the end. Salvation was just the beginning. And that they needed to be able to press on in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That Jesus did more than just die for their sins. He died to give them life and life to the fullest. And they could experience life to the fullest, but they needed to be able to continue to grow and develop. And so Paul's writing this letter. It's a very personal letter because he cares for them. And he doesn't want them to stop growing in their faith. And so Paul writes this letter, and I just want to walk us through the first chapter, and I want to share some thoughts with you. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. And so he gives them this greeting. He's just saying, hey, you know what? I am so excited because of your relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want you to know that I care about you. And basically what Paul ends up doing is he gives them the formula, if you will, or the title of what really Philippians is all about. And Philippians is all about this right here. I'm going to teach you a new word, okay? Cruciformity. Cruciformity, okay, as one author would say. And basically what he was saying is, I want you to be conformed into the image of Christ. I want you to experience everything that Jesus Christ has purchased for you and me. That's what I want for you. Because you're holy people. You're children of God. And so Paul gives him that greeting, and then he comes up with this. He says, grace and peace to you from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he gives a greeting here, and he says, grace and peace. And this is kind of Paul's hashtag, if you will, okay? If you look at all of his other letters, he always has a greeting called grace and peace. And I want us to look at that word peace, because the word peace is not just the absence of conflict. When he says peace, okay, he's talking about no guilt, no shame. Why? Because you're holy people. You're holy people. He says, grace and peace, peace, that you have peace with God. Guess what else? You have peace with yourself, and you have peace with other people. See, the word peace here means that your life is properly ordered. It's not out of sync. And that it's put back together by grace. It's not something that you can fix on your own or that you can do on your own. It's grace and peace. Because of grace, you're at peace with God, yourself, and with other people. It's not about working hard. And so what he is saying is, I greet you with grace and peace, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done for you and has brought peace to you. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. It is a gift. And so he's writing to a group of people. He's writing to a group of people who have experienced the forgiveness of God, like many of us here today. You've experienced the forgiveness of God. And he's clarifying for them that there's more to life than just accepting Christ. That Jesus came to give you life to the fullest, and that it's not the end. And that God doesn't just want to forgive you of your sins and forgive me of my sins, and then we have to wait until heaven. No, he wants you to be transformed. He wants me to be transformed. And then we are to be transforming agents to those around us. And so today, what I want us to do is look at this first chapter, and we're going to find out that Paul is telling them something brand new has happened to you, and I want you to grow in that, and I want you to be able to experience it. And so here's the first thing that we want to look at, and it's this, a brand new heart. When you come to Jesus Christ, you get a brand new heart. You're transformed. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any woman be in Christ, they are what? A new creation. They're a new creation. And so Paul was saying, look, you got a new heart. Now run with it. Develop it. Experience it to the fullest. And so he continues this letter, and it's very personal. Here's what he says. I thank God every time I remember you. He's talking to Lydia, the businesswoman, who no doubt helped fund the start of the church. He's talking to that slave girl who was demon-possessed and now is set free. He's talking to the jailer whose life and family has been transformed. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? Joy, because I've seen the change in your life because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Then he says these powerful words, such an encourager. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Wow, what's he saying? He's saying you got a brand new heart. It's transformed. So that should lead you and I to confidence in the power of God. Hey, listen, Lydia, don't forget what God has done in your life. Hey, slave girl, don't forget that he delivered you from a demonic spirit. Hey, jailer, don't forget what he's done. He who began a good work will bring it to completion. What's Paul saying? Paul had a deep, deep faith that God was at work and that God was in complete control and that God was in the midst of whatever had happened and whatever was happening and whatever would happen. And his trust is reflected in his words. Here's what he said again. He said this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ. He who what? Began and what? Completed. You see, listen, when you live with confidence in the power of God, that whatever God has started in your life, he's going to bring to completion. You know what happens? Your confidence level goes through the roof. And when your confidence is in God's power, guess what you can do? You ready for this? You can chill. You can relax. And as we're going to learn in this letter, you will be joyful. You won't be grumpy. You won't be moody. Because you got a new heart. You've been transformed. You know that whatever God has started, he's going to complete. And you have confidence in that. And so you can relax and be joyful. See, he wanted them to relax and be joyful. And remember, you know what? Whatever God started in you, Lydia, whatever God started in you, slave girl, he's going to bring to completion. Don't worry about that. See, Jeremiah would put it like this. Jeremiah would say, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not what? Fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Wow. You know why? Because they have confidence in God. See, what happens is many of us start out with confidence in God and it starts to wane. I don't know if God can do this. I don't know. And Paul says, you got a new heart, man. You've been transformed. He who began it will bring it to completion. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so Paul was encouraging them with this. He says, this is the life that's worth living, one that has confidence in God. And he goes on and he writes this. He says, it is right for me to feel this way all about you, because Paul saw their life before Christ. Since I have you in my heart, and whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Paul goes on to say this, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. Paul was saying this, listen, I not only want you to grow in your confidence in the power of God, I want you to grow in your compassion for the people of God. I want you to grow in your compassion for the people of God, those who are around you. What did he say? Paul said it like this. He says, God knows how much I love you and long for you with the what? Tender compassion of Christ. Compassion is different than sympathy. Sympathy is, oh, I'm so sorry that that happened. And you get a card in the mail. Compassion gets engaged. It does something. It moves you to action. And he's saying, hey, you got a new heart. You've been transformed. You got confidence in the power of God. Don't let it wane. Don't let your compassion for people wane. The power of God's working in you. You're new. You're brand new. Now go in this and grow in this. Then here's the third thing that Paul tells him about the new heart. You got to have a concern for personal growth. He's telling them, he said, you got confidence in God's power. You got compassion for people, but you have to have a concern for your own personal growth. I share with the staff at New Point, you know what I tell them? I am not responsible for your spiritual growth. You are. You better be concerned for your own spiritual growth, and that's what Paul is challenging them. He says it this way. He says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more. What's he saying? He says, I want you to be concerned about your personal growth in love. That your love, and the word that he uses here, that your love will overflow more and more. It's the word agape. It's the way in which we're called to treat one another, to love one another unconditionally. That we're growing in our love, that we're becoming more loving than what we used to be. We're focusing on the needs of others more than we're focusing on our needs. And he's praying here that we will grow, that you'll have a concern for your love. Do you have a concern for your love? How well do you love people? How well do I love people? Does it ever concern you how you interact with people? Paul goes on and he says, I not only pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in the knowledge and understanding. He says, I not only want you to be concerned about your love life, okay, I'm not talking about romantic love. I'm talking about how you love the people in your life, at work, at home, at play. He says, but I want you to continue to grow in your knowledge and understanding. Don't be satisfied with just being forgiven. Grow in your knowledge and understanding. In who? First of all, God. Because what happens is you can't trust somebody you don't know. He says, I want you to grow in your knowledge and understanding of God in His ways. And I want you to grow in your knowledge and understanding of other people. So Paul was saying this. He says, be concerned with your growth. Do you know God better today than the day that you accepted Him as the forgiver of your sins? Paul would say, you need to be concerned about that. I need to be concerned about that because we've got a new heart. We've been transformed. And then he goes on and he says this. And this is a very personal letter because he's passionate about them. Because you know what? Everything that he's writing them, he himself has experienced. And he's longing for them to experience and to have what he has because it's there. He says, for I want you to understand what really matters. Do you know what really matters? Kobe Bryant, dead, 41, worth $600 million. Have you watched TV? Have you watched the tweets? Grown men bawling, crying. Grown men asking for forgiveness from other people, Twitter-wise, and letting people know that. You know why? Because now they understand what really matters. Most of us don't. And that's why Paul was saying, be concerned for your personal growth. I want you to understand what really matters. Why? So that you may live a pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ. What's he talking about here? He's saying, have concern for your personal growth, not only in love and not only in knowledge and understanding, but in your character. Have growth in your character. What's character? I love what Andy says. Andy Stanley says, character is the willingness to do whatever is right as defined by God, regardless of personal cost. Wow. So Paul says, hey, church at Philippi, you've come to Christ. That's great. You got a new heart. It's been transformed. You're no longer the same. And I want you to grow in your confidence in the power of God. I want you to be able to have compassion for people. I want you to grow in that. I want you to be concerned about your personal growth, your personal relationship with God, because it's so important. You know, the reason why the guy fell out of bed is because he stayed too close to where he got in. And that's what happens to many of us with our salvation. We experience forgiveness of sin, and that's all we go for. And Paul is saying, no, 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 you're brand new. You have all of this to experience. You got a new heart. You've been transformed. So develop your confidence in the power of God. Develop compassion for other people. Begin to have a concern for your own personal growth. And then Paul continues because he has so much to say. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters. Now I want you to know. You got a new heart, but I want you to know something else. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. See, here's what you need to understand, okay? Paul's writing this letter, not from a yacht. He's writing this letter from a cell in a jail, okay? And he says, I want you to know something. What's happened to me? I know some of you have been crying. You think it's terrible. But I want you to know that what's happened to me has really served the gospel very, very well. Why? Because you see, when you get a new heart, you find that you have a new purpose. And that purpose is the gospel. It's the good news. It's the good news. It's not the American dream. Your new purpose in life is the gospel, the good news. Why? Because it's transformed your heart. Now you have a confidence you never knew. Now you have a compassion that you've never experienced. Now you are growing in love and in knowledge and in character, all because of Jesus Christ. And so now you have a new purpose, and it's the gospel. It's to share the gospel. And Paul says, what has happened to me has served to advance the gospel. You see, what happened is most people was thinking, oh, you know what? I really feel bad for Paul. He's not going to be able to advance his cause anymore. Isn't that how we feel? But Paul says, no, you know what? You're not thinking right. What you think could have stopped the gospel is now being used to advance the gospel. Is that your approach to life? See, what happens is when things don't go our way, we think it's going to thwart the gospel. And really, people are watching you, and they're watching me, and they're seeing how you respond. They're seeing how I respond. And what Paul would say is this, you know what? It served to advance the gospel because it lets me have an opportunity, a platform to be able to do that. See, Paul was chained to Roman guards. They weren't going anywhere. And guess what he was doing? He was telling them about Jesus. Paul goes on, he says, as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Now listen to this. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. What he says is this, I've got a new purpose now. It's the gospel. And guess what? No matter what happens to me, it creates possibilities. It creates possibilities for me to what? To share the truth. Oh, Dwight, I heard you had open heart surgery. That is terrible. Oh, no, let me tell you how God used it in my life. He used it to get my attention. Oh, I know that you got fired from a job. You know I did. It wasn't the best thing, but let me tell you how God has provided for me. Oh, Dwight, I hear we can go on and on and on and on and on. And what Satan would want to use to stop the gospel, Paul is saying, no, now you got a new purpose. You know what? If you have a right attitude, it will advance the gospel because people will begin to ask you questions. So how you handling? How you dealing with it? What's going on? And what happens is it creates possibilities that otherwise you would not have. Listen, let me go back to Kobe. You know one of the messages that we're finding out with Kobe is that he had a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we're finding out. And you know what? It's created a possibility for people to begin to talk about spiritual things, even in the tragedy of that, and it's advancing the gospel. Paul goes on to say, he says, it is true that some preach out of envy and rival, but others out of goodwill. He's saying, I know what you're concerned because there's other people in Philippi who you don't think are theologically correct and they're not right and they're manipulating people and you're concerned about the church on the corner and you're concerned about this other group. He says, the latter do so out of love, out of goodwill, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former, he says, preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Listen to this, okay? But what does it matter? Chill. Chill. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. The good news is shared. That's what really matters. And because of this, I rejoice. I know some people do it for alternative motives. I know some people do it out of selfishness. I know some people do it for multiple different reasons. But I'm okay with that just as long as the gospel is shared because my new purpose in life is tell the good news that Jesus Christ loves them and that in him you can have a brand new start. And so what we learn is you not only create possibilities, but you concentrate on the priority when your new purpose is the gospel. Listen to me, okay? Listen to me very much. If the church could ever quit fighting and picking on one another, you know what? We would be able to move the ball down the field. John chapter 17 says, I pray that they might be one as you and I are one. Jesus talking. So that they might believe that you have sent me. Paul was a team player. He was just saying, hey, you know what? I'm concentrating on the priority. The priority is that the gospel gets out. It may not be the way that I want it, may not be the way that you want it, but if they're saying that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, Paul says, if they're doing it out of selfish motive, God will sort that out. I'm not gonna waste my time on them. And so he goes on and he says this. He says, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Though it's bothering all of you and you're freaking out. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me, check this out, what has happened to me has turned out for my deliverance. Wow. What's happened to Paul? He got put in prison. What do you mean? Is he going to have another breakout? Nope. The word deliverance here, okay, doesn't mean personal safety. The word deliverance here, okay, is personal well-being. That's what it means, personal well-being. Why? Because he had a new heart. We're going to find out. He has learned to be what? Content no matter what the situation was. He says, I've been delivered from all of that. My circumstances don't drive me. They don't control me. And what happens often, we strike out at God when we're in a place of discomfort or things aren't going according to our plan. Paul says, you know what? This suffering has served me well because it got my attention. And you know what? It's molding me into the man that I need to be and that I want to be in Christ Jesus. Wow. And Paul goes on. Here's what he says, okay? Incredible letter. I encourage you to read it. Once a week for the next 4 weeks, you can do that. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body. That I won't be ashamed, that no matter where I'm at, if I'm in prison, out of prison, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. You know what Paul was saying here? He's saying, hey, church at Philippi, you got a new purpose. You not only have a new heart, but you got a new purpose. And the purpose is the gospel. So center your lives on the purpose. Center your life on the purpose. What's the purpose? The purpose is the gospel. What's the hope of the world? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. And so Paul is saying, center your lives on the purpose. And he says this, he goes on to say this, and maybe you've heard this verse before. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am going to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Means if, you know what? If I'm gonna be alive, it's gonna mean fruitful labor for me. That means that I'm gonna be centered on the gospel. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. He says, you know, I'd like to just go on to be with heaven, but I need to be here to encourage you so that you'll continue to grow in your faith. He says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. If you're a Christ follower here today, is anybody progressing in their joy and faith because of you? Isn't that why you should be alive? Huh? Why? Because your new purpose is the gospel, okay? And he says, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ, Jesus will abound on account of me. And so he says these powerful words. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The word gain there, a better word, might be dividend. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if I die, I'm okay with that. I'll just cash in all my investments because I've been investing my life in the kingdom of God. And guess what? I'll just cash them in and I'll receive the principal plus the interest. That's what he's saying. I'll have more of Christ if I die than if I'm living. But I could go on serving Christ because nothing can stop me, because I've got confidence in his power. So why should you go on living? See, many of us live for many different things. Some of us, it would be this: for me to live is money, and to die is to leave it all behind. For others, it's for me to live is fame, and to die is to be quickly forgotten. For me to live is power and influence, and to die is to lose both. For me to live is possessions, and to die is to depart with nothing in my hands. You see, listen to me very carefully as we wrap up. When money is your object, you will live in fear of losing it, which will make you paranoid and suspicious of everybody. When your aim is fame, what happens is you will become the most competitive person in the world, lest someone else upstage you and makes you envious. When power and influence become our goal, we become self-serving and strong-willed, and it makes us arrogant. When possessions become our God, we become materialistic, thinking enough is never enough, which makes us greedy. Wow. And so Paul said, I just want you to know why I'm living. It's for Christ. I got a new purpose. It's the gospel. It's not for money. It's not for fame. It's not for power. It's not for influence. It's not for possessions. It's Christ. And so I live. And then he wraps it up with this. He says, so whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Wow. Whatever happens to you, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in Philippi. I understand that. You're a Roman colony. But whatever happens, whatever goes on in the community, at church, in your home, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because my new purpose is the gospel. I don't want to do anything that would bring shame to the gospel. And so what he is saying to you and I is conduct our lives, conduct your lives according to the pattern. Who's the pattern? The pattern is Jesus. The pattern is Jesus. Dwight, in every instance, whether it's with Patty, whether it's with your kids, whether it's at work, whether it's at church, whether it's in the community, whatever you do, conduct yourself worthy of the gospel, because your new purpose is the gospel. You're representing the gospel. And so he says this. He says, then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit. Wow. Striving together as for one faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign, he says, to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now I hear that I still have. And so Paul says this, okay? He closes out this chapter. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. So Paul writes this personal letter. And he says, listen, folks, you got a new heart. You've been transformed. Grow in your confidence in God. Grow in your compassion for people. Grow in your personal growth and your love and your knowledge and your character. And when you do, what happens is, you know what you'll do? You'll embrace a new purpose in life. It won't be to fulfill the American dream, though there's nothing wrong with that. Your new purpose, you know what? See, some of us need a purpose bigger than our problems. And that's why you fight depression. Because you don't have a purpose bigger than your problems. So whatever happens to you does not advance the gospel. Whatever happens to you advances your discouragement, your depression, your defeat. Because your purpose isn't the gospel. It's you. And Paul was dealing with it. And he's saying, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And guess what? You'll experience life and life to the fullest. Hey, I want you to come back next week, okay? Because we're going to look at two other brand new things that God has for us who have accepted him as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for who you are. Wow. Some of us, we're like Lydia. You know what? Life was going pretty well and good, and we didn't know what we were missing. And we got introduced to Jesus, and it's changed our life. For others of us, we're kind of like that slave girl. We were tormented by fear and anxiety and worry and guilt and shame. And you came and you delivered us. Some of us were like that jailer. You know, we're just going through life, putting in the work week. And yet you came to us and you set us free and you gave us a new purpose. And our family has never been the same. God, I pray for myself as well as those who are here today that we would heed the words of Paul and that we would grow in our faith because we have a new heart and because we have a new purpose. And it's in his name we give thanks. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play, or catch us on Roku or Apple TV. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.